Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to One Love, One Us.
I don't just want to know about any secret.
Welcome to One. And
tonight we are going to talk about the reasons why
people decide
to get married. You're not coming. Move.
What?
Keep talking. Just move.
Yes. And one of the interesting answers that I've gotten over the years about why people get married would be rather surprising, even myself, when I actually shared with my co-host, Reverend Harvey, about the reason why I got married. So I'm going to start out with that. One of the reasons that I had gotten married was because I had come to the conclusion that love was a choice. And the person that I decided to get married to, when I went out with him, I really got this strong impression that he was not going to be the type of person who would intentionally hurt me. So, you know, I went into it with the idea that you know, that over time love would grow. In fact, I had taken under consideration that, you know, the mindset and the concept of what would be called like the Eastern way of thinking over in India, where you have people pick, the family picks who it is that they would get married to. So I think over the years, what I came to understand was that love was a choice. But there were certain parts or certain aspects of some needs that weren't being met. But and I still, to this day, feel that my ex is a wonderful person. It's just that he and I were not all that compatible. So, Reverend Harvey, you know, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line. We're actually in a studio together. You can physically see me.
Okay. Very funny, very funny. So, Reverend Harvey, what was the reason why you got married, or what are some of the reasons why you think people get married?
Well, I'm going to start with the reason why I got married. I got married because I fell in love. I met a woman who I thought was the greatest woman ever. You know, she was a lovely person. To this day, I still think she's a lovely person. But I got married because after spending time with her, I couldn't imagine my life without her. It was just that much better with her. And so I asked her to marry me, and she said no. And so I asked her to marry me, and she said no. So I asked her to marry me, and she said maybe. And then I was like, okay, now we're making progress. The next time I asked her to marry me, she said yes, and we got married. But it was just, you know, everything about her I liked. She was easy to get along with. She was easy to talk to. She was easy on the eyes. She was just a good person. She had a great head on her shoulders. She knew what she wanted to do with her life. So it was, to me, who I was at that time and where I was going, she was a perfect match. So I got married for love. Why do other people get married? There's probably a list of reasons out there. As a matter of fact, I pulled up a list of reasons of why people get married. Want to hear? Here you go. You know, the top 10 reasons that people get married is, people get married for companionship. You know, you want to be with someone. People get married because some people feel that, you know, they're safer when they're with someone. It can be safer as far as, you know, and this is just a perspective, but it can be safer as far as sex goes because you're not messing with a lot of different people. So you're sleeping, allegedly, you're sleeping with just one person, so you don't have to worry about STDs. It can be safer as far as becoming a victim of violence if you feel that the person you're with can protect you and take care of you. Marriage can save your life. Statistically, they say that people who are married live longer than those who aren't. They live longer and have healthier lives. I'm not so sure that's true, but maybe it is. Marriage can save your kids' life. It is very healthy for kids to see two parents living together under one roof and getting along. Now, that one I'm more inclined to agree with. You know, children who come from a household where they have parents and the parents get along very well tend to, not always the case, but tend to want to have that in the relationships that they have. So they try to seek out what they saw in their home and try to recreate it. Now, again, that is not for everyone. So it's not the case of everyone. Again, here's one that's statistically out there, and I'm not 100% sure I'm on board with it, but statistics say married couples make more money. Married couples make as much as 40% more than single couples or than single people. And you know, obviously, if you're a two-income family. However, there are some two-income families who make less than a single person who makes good money, triple digits. So, again, that's one of them things that's case by case. But statistically speaking, overall, being married, you have a greater household income than you would as a single person. Married people get much richer. I don't know how they came up with this. Again, this is a statistic that I pulled. This is not me. Married people get much richer. Married people not only make more money, they manage money better and build more wealth. Again, take that on a case-by-case basis because that may not necessarily be true, especially since I know a lot of married people who are broker than single people. Why? Because they mismanage their money. So, again, case-by-case basis. There is less risk of cheating. Well, let's go with that. Let's go with that. I'm not going to say anything else on that because I like that. It may not necessarily be true, but I like that. So we're going to go with that. There's less risk of cheating. Actually, I'm not going to just go with that. I got to read what it says. Cohabitating women are 8 times more likely to cheat than wives. So men, if you're shacking up with a woman, she's 8 times more likely to cheat on you than if you marry her. Think about that, guys. Think about that. As scared as you may be to marry her, if there's any reality to this statistic that I'm reading, shacking up with a woman, cohabitating women are 8 times more likely to cheat than a wife. I guess that's an incentive, woman. Women, if you want the man that you've been living with for 5 years to marry you, say, hey, look, once you marry me, I'm 8 times less likely to cheat on you. But on the other side, men who live with girlfriends are 4 times more likely to cheat than husbands are on their wives. So women, while you're 8 times more likely to cheat when you're shacking up, your man is 4 times more likely to cheat. So again, if there's any truth to this statistic, that's a good reason for you to stop shacking up and get married. Because if you get married, you know, he's 4 times less likely to cheat, and women, that's right, statistically speaking, y'all cheat more than we do now. You're 8 times less likely to cheat if he marries you. Happiness for everyone. Okay, the next one, you won't go bonkers. Okay, I got to read this because I'm not sure what that means. Married Americans are less depressed, less anxious, and less psychologically stressed than single, divorced, or widowed people. So, according to this, I guess what they're really saying is you're happier when you're married than you are when you're not. Again, case-by-case basis, everyone. Case-by-case basis. Don't take this as the gospel. The next one's, your kids will love you more. That's right. Your kids love you more when you're together than they do when you're apart. I'm not so sure that's the case, but again, adult children of married parents describe their relationship with parents more positively than those whose parents are divorced. If I look at it that way, I guess there's a possibility. You know, as an adult kid, you may still be harboring some resentment towards one of the parents. If you think mom or you think dad is the reason that the marriage ended, then, yeah, you might have a better relationship with the parent who you feel was the victim, was the one who was left, was the one who was hurt, than you might with the other one. So, and I'm not saying that these statistics aren't accurate. I'm just saying let's take them all with a grain of salt. Somebody, this is actually coming from Psychology Today, so somebody somewhere came up with this stuff based off of some kind of study. I'm not sure who they talked to or where they talked to these people at, but this is what they have. And the number one reason, Reverend Arlene, can I get a drum roll, please? Okay, well, I'll take that as a drum roll.
Okay. Yeah.
The number one reason why people get married is that your sex life will be better. Boom, chicka, bow, bow. That's right. Get it in where you can get it in. Married people are more likely to report a satisfying sex life than are unmarried. You know, that's interesting because I was hanging out this past weekend, and I was the only single guy in this little group, and the two married men are talking about not getting sex anymore. You know, one implied that, you know, it stopped a while ago, and the other implied it stopped when he got married. Hey, are they jokes, or is there some truth to it? According to this statistic, we like to believe that married people have sex more than single people, but that may not necessarily be the truth of the matter. So, Reverend Arlene, those are some of the reasons that I think, based on what I pulled in this article called Together for Life from Psychology Today.
Okay. Well, those are some really interesting points. I know that one of the questions that I would always ask people who had gotten married or that I knew on some type of personal level as to the reason, what was it about that person that made you say forever? And often, I mean, some of the answers that I used to get, they don't even compare up to that list that you just named off.
I know. I know. That was a very unique list there. Now, I found one that seems to be more down to earth. And callers, if you want to get in, if you want to share something, be sure to press 1 on your phone, and you can tell us the reasons why you got married or why you think people get married. But I found another list that seems to make a little bit more sense to me. Reasons why people get married, emotional reasons. People wanting companionship, they want romance, they want love in their life. So they do it for emotional reasons. Financial reasons. People do it because, well, tax breaks. Mm-hmm. They want, you know, to have the legal commitment. They want the financial security being able to be provided for, as well as provide for their children. You know, they want the medical insurance, which you can get without getting married. Legal reasons. People want to get married for legal reasons. And I guess there are a number of legal reasons out there, like if I came across the border and I want to become an American citizen. However, I found, unlike what you may have heard on TV or whatever, just because you get married does not allow you to stay in this country illegally. So anybody out there who's thinking about marrying a foreign national or a foreign person who thinks they marry an American, they can stay here, yeah, there's a whole lot of red tape, a whole lot of paperwork that you have to go through to be able to stay here. Just saying, I do don't mean it's done.
And a whole lot of money, just so you know.
Well, Arlene, you got money, share with them. People still get married for religious reasons. That's right. If you come from a highly religious family, it may be religious reasons, but also family pressures. Mom is wondering when you're going to get married. You're 35 years old and you're still not married? And Dad may put a little pressure on you, too. Stay single as long as you can, son. Society, what others believe. If you are the only single person in your crew, then it may feel like you're being left behind.
Shoot, there are films out about that one. There are films out that where the person is feeling pressured to get married because of the pressures within the family. But hey, again, interesting list. Still, some of them I had not, you know, weren't some of the answers that I ran across. One person that I did recall back when I was younger, as the reason why he got married, he told me that the sex was good. And I guess my thought was like, wow, that was the driving force behind his deciding to get married. And the thing that I found interesting about it was he said that the marriage had lasted for close to 2 years, and then it wasn't that the sex life had died down or anything, but what he had found was that the person, had issues in that particular area where they required sex all the time. So there, that was one of the reasons why one of the reasons why I heard that a person got married. Also, there I recall talking to someone, and one of the things that it doesn't seem like any of your lists talk about, or maybe they hint at it, but they don't go into any particular detail about it, is the reason why they got married was because of money. Now, I recall, I was really surprised by that. Really surprised that somebody, that was their driving force as to getting married.
Really? You were surprised by that?
I was surprised by that because, I was at that time, understand I was in my 20s at that time, I was really rather doe-eyed and really feeling that whole concept.
You were young and naive, huh?
Yeah, young and naive, if you want to say it.
Well, on my list, it didn't hint at it. It clearly said financial reasons.
Okay.
Clearly said that. Financial, that would be money. People do it so that they could get money. And on that other strange list, we found that married people have more money than single people. And then the one after that was that married people get richer because they're supposed to take care of their money better. So, yeah, it was clearly in there for money, financial security.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised that you were shocked by that, considering this is the United States of America. What people do for money.
I was young,
Gold Digger has been around for a long time. When you was in your 20s, Kanye West was singing about gold diggers.
I was actually in my 30s for that, but thank you for that. Some of the other reasons that I heard that people got married, I did actually have the opportunity to meet a person who was from East India, and they actually, in her particular culture, there are people who do marry for love, and then there are people who have their parents select who it is that they're going to marry. But in her particular case, she actually went to a matchmaker. And there were certain characteristics and traits that they were specifically looking for. And the matchmaker helped to sift out those particular. But it was, for her, it was a more of a calculated decision.
Yeah, she went to eHarmony Far East.
You know.
And she wasn't worried about all those eHarmony questions. And it worked for her. They set her up with the right guy.
Yes, in her particular case, that you know, and then the thing was, she did say that it did take a level of commitment on both of their parts. But I'm thinking that a lot of that had, you know, a lot of, you know, that decision to commit was also cultural, since that was a part of their you know, their culture. So let's see. And some other reasons as to why.
Well, hold on. Before you go to other reasons, I want to go back to the first one that you came up with, the guy who got married for sex.
Correct.
I want you to understand that a lot of things happen when people have sex. And when the sex is that good, as we used to call it when I was young, getting whipped. When you get whipped and they put it on you like that, you might do darn near anything. If it's put on you the right way, you be walking up and down the street butt naked begging for cheese. Okay? I'm just saying, when it's put on you, you're liable to do anything. If she say rob a bank, you'll rob a bank. Whatever it is, just to get some more. And so obviously for him, you know, not understanding that there's more to a relationship than good sex, he became addicted to it. And he just needed more and more. And apparently it was more than she wanted. You know, he could go all night long, like that little bunny. He was just going and going and going and going. And as far as she was concerned, like, come on, enough is enough. Stop it. You know, so after 2 years, she was like, this dude is crazy. I done had enough of him. You know, I can't do anything around him. I put on my shoe and he's jumping on my back.
Actually, no. See, the thing was, she required more.
Oh, she wanted more. She was wearing him out. No wonder she whipped him. The poor man was going blind. He was weak in the knees. He had back problems. He couldn't even think straight. He was having so much sex. His mind was just in the fog. In case you men don't know, that's the side effect of having too much sex. Weak knees, bad back, bad eyesight, and your mind is in the fog. You can't think straight. Don't believe me? Try it. Do 3 to 5 times a day for a whole 30 days. See what happened to you. At some point, you won't even be able to get out of bed. You'd be like, I give, waving the white flag. Enough is enough. Leave me alone. Go away.
Okay.
She tried to kill him, man. He must have had money.
You were so funny.
Okay. I'm just saying. That's bad on the heart, too, after a while.
Okay.
You can only take so much excitement.
Well, again, there was another person that, again, I called myself a bit of a personal roving reporter when I was growing up, but
you were nosy.
Yeah, I was nosy. Yeah, I was. I take ownership of that. I did ask a gentleman, you know, and he was divorced by this time, but I asked this gentleman, well, what was it about his wife that you know, caused him to decide to marry her? And so what he told me was that she played towards what it was that she saw that he wanted in a wife. And she played this particular role. So in actuality, his feeling was that he got deceived. And it really wasn't until after the children were out of the house and he was alone with her that after all those years that he looked and he saw that this was not the type of person that he would have wanted to be married to. And so as a result, he had gotten a divorce. So that was another reason that, I guess, for lack of a better word, he felt that he had gotten tricked. I'm just more inclined to believe that he just missed the signal as to who she was, because no one can keep up the facade.
Well,
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, 24/7, 7 days a week. So that was also another reason why. And oftentimes, a lot of the people that I was, maybe like one or two of the people that I actually spoke with said that they married for love. I do know that there were some pre-qualifiers with the couples that I had talked to in reference to why they got married. They wanted to make sure that, you know, that the person had education. They wanted to make sure that, you know, that the religion was the same. But they had a bunch of pre-qualifiers before they actually started that process of even allowing themselves to care for the other individual, making sure that their needs and their requirements were met before they actually took the plunge. And then there have been a few situations where I actually talked to a few women who felt that they settled because they didn't want to be alone anymore. And this is something that is not uncommon, that, you know, they're getting sick and tired of meeting the type of men that they've been meeting, and so they decide to get involved with the regular guy. Whatever they consider to be.
Let's say a good guy.
Okay, a good guy. Okay.
You're just a regular guy. I don't want you. I want the irregular guy over there. The one whose left arm is bigger than his right arm. The one who's got one blue eye and one gray eye. Come on, I need an irregular guy. Again, if you want to get in on the call, just press 1 on your button and share on your phone and share with us why you got married or why you think people get married. Oh, we've got a caller, Arlene. Hold on. Hi, caller. You're on the air. Yes, hello.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
This is Reverend Harvey. Who do I have?
This is Zakiya.
Hey, Zakiya. Yeah. How are you, love?
I am well. You guys are having too much fun.
Is that possible?
Too much fun.
Is that possible to have too much fun?
No, it really isn't. And I'm absolutely loving that you're laughing and also sharing this amazing and wonderful information with us. You know, as a person who's been married 3 times, I'm not saying to my game, because I said I'm be like Elizabeth Taylor. I'm gonna keep trying until I get it right.
All right, I like that.
But
much
you know,
respect.
What I found, Reverend Harvey and Arlene, and hello to you, Arlene. It's so good to talk with you tonight. You know, I was very young with my first one, with my first marriage, and I got married because my elders told me that was the right thing to do. And I said, well, what about love? And they said, don't worry about it. Love will come. Well, 5 years later into my marriage, love had not come. And so I was able to release that. My second marriage, just a lot of stuff showed up. And then my third marriage, I learned a lot of lessons, but I realized that he was not the person for me. So we were able to go our separate ways. I think marriage is, I love marriage. I think marriage is one of the most beautiful and amazing sacred experiences that you can have if it is with the person who you are ordained to be with, and I call it ordained or destined to be with. It can be the most amazing, wonderful experience, and I'm still looking for that. But just incorporating even with the things that did not go totally right in the marriages that I have, just the it was just something about the two people making the commitment to walk this journey together in life and share in all the things, the raising of the children, the coming together, the just sharing the love. And, yeah, you go through stuff, man, but, it's the love, the commitment, the being together and being devoted to one another to see it through, that's the thing to me that makes it work. And, of course, you've got to have God first. I believe one of the major reasons why marriages don't work is because people don't put God first.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that there, whatever your spiritual practice is, whatever it is, I believe that there has to be a power greater than ourselves that we put before us that ties us together. But the other thing I want to say is the relationship that I am in now, I chose above everybody saying to me, you could probably do better, I don't know what that better is. I've gone after the man with the money for the sake of that. I've gone after, for the lust and the sex. I've done all of that. And the most important thing for me as I got into this stage of my life now is I wanted someone who could get me, who really got me as me, who accepted me as me, wasn't looking for me to be anything different or some whatever, and that had the kind of love that I desired to be loved, to have that love experience with. And,
great. Zakiya, let me ask you a question.
Money wasn't
let me ask you a question, Zakiya. Why do you think people get married?
Why do they get married?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I named
we heard why
them,
you did it, but why do you think other people get married?
One of the things that Arlene said is that women just get to the point they're just tired of being by themselves. So they jump into a relationship and into marriage just for the sake of that security of knowing that person is going to be there, married. That could be one of them. Because it's tradition. That could be one of them. It's traditional. That's what, what we've been told that we're supposed to do. The love factor or the emotional factor, you talked about that. The emotional gets you in that. I remember him being in front of the video camera on his knee, and one part of my mind was saying, do not do that. And the other part was saying, you can't disappoint him. You can't. Emotion. People get together for all kinds of reasons. You're getting a social security check. I'm going to get a social security check. Let's combine it together.
So we're back to the financial thing again. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, finances. And then sex, too, because, people get to the point where they say, look, I don't want to be fooling around with this person. I love having sex. I want to have one person to have that experience with. So... and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I just, marriage is,
okay. And
I know you said it earlier today on the love journey, it's like a business contract and you really have to sit down, you have to iron out all the things, you have to find out, is this the person I'm going to be able to be committed to every day for whatever period of time? I don't like that your death do us part stuff because it just doesn't work for me. But for the time that we have designated ourselves to be together.
All right. Well, Zakiya, thank you. Thank you for calling in and sharing your point of view with us. And I just want to let you know that, you don't have to wait for long. Your Mr. Wright is on his way. He's going to show up real soon for you, all right?
Yeah. He's already here in my life, and I'm just giving thanks every day in every way that God continues to bless it. And I wish all those who deserve to have love and marriage just be real peaceful about it and trust God to bring the right person into your life. All right. God bless you.
Thank you, Zakiya. God bless you. Love you,
too.
All right. All right. And so, again, if you want to get in on a conversation, just press 1 on your phone, and we would love to hear from you why you got married and why do you think people get married. Oh, Arlene, we've got another caller. Hold on. Caller, you're on the line.
Hey, Arlene. Arlene, it's Howard. How are you? How are you guys doing? All
right? Hey, Howard. We're doing great today. How are you?
It's just been way too long, and I know this is an interesting way to contact you, but good. I saw your thing on Facebook, so I figured I'd at least try to listen to it, because obviously the whole subject of marriage stirs a lot of thought, you know. So
okay, well, as a man who's been married a few times,
just the first part of it, so I'm not sure what you all came up with, but
Well, I'll give you the short version of it, and then you can share your experiences with us. I went over two lists. One I found from Psychology Today on why people get married. Very interesting list, different than any answers that you usually get. And I found another list which was more in line with the normal answers. A lot of what Zakiya just shared with us and what Arlene was saying a little before Zakiya got on the line, the emotional, financial, society reasons. So that's really all you miss. And we'd like to hear from you as a man who's been there a few times.
Don't tell any
why
secrets,
did you get married?
Don't tell any secrets. Well, I think originally, the whole at 60, the whole idea of marriage has changed for me. And earlier on in my life, it was required to be with anybody was to be married. It didn't make a difference. The ideals, it was basically, that was the only way you could, be with anybody. You had to be married. So, unfortunately, when you're in a traditional type religious setting and those are the requirements, you're not really prepared emotionally or physically or for the differences with the other person. So, unfortunately, with those differences creates the friction, I think, that happens when people just get together and they don't realize that there's a lot more to this than just just the physical. So as you get older, I think as I've gotten older anyway, I look at the whole marriage scenario and I have kind of let go of the traditional idea of it, and I happen to be a fond believer in the ideas that Gary Zukav puts in his book, Seat of the Soul, and also Neil Donald Walsh in Conversations with God about the idea of a marriage being something where people come together to help each other to grow and to create a healing environment for each other. And I happen to agree with Gary in his thought of that the old paradigm of marriage is doomed to fail because we have these expectations of the other person that when they don't fulfill them, we get angry and mad at them, and that causes more friction, thus causing divorce, thus causing the great industry of divorce lawyers. So we don't realize how to resolve our issues without talking to each other rather than going through mediation. So my ideas have definitely changed since I was in my 20s and where I'm at now in life. And I also happen to like Marianne Williamson's idea of relationship, that we come together again to help each other to heal. And if we were to accept that as a society, we may be able to overcome the incredible the divorce situation, because again, a lot of us get into these relationships with the expectation of this, this, and this, and then we get mad at our partner because they're not this, this, and this, but we thought they were, and so there's this anger and stuff that builds up. So, but I think, and also I think the whole idea of marriage has been changing over the decades anyway. I mean, years and years ago, marriage was there to help people to grow, to up their social ladder, or to be financially secure, or to have a place to live. So you have a lot of those things happening, and those paradigms are still alive. People still getting married because they want to be financially okay, financially secure, in a world that is, you know, insecure. So it's like, wow. And then, again, we get mad at the person because, you know, A, they lost their job or the world has fallen apart. And so we have this constant anger at each other because they're not fulfilling what we want. You know, so anyway, I don't want to be rambling. I'm just sharing some of the things that I've...
Howard, to stop you from rambling, let me ask you this. So we heard why you got married. Why do you think, because, and I like the views that you're saying. I don't know if you heard Zakiya, but I spoke to the Love Journey this morning. And what you're saying is one of the things that I was telling them about, you know, a rebirth of relationships. We have to understand because people, just like you're saying, people don't understand what relationships are. You have a generation of children who didn't see relationships growing up, real relationships, and the model has changed. But if we understand what the basis really was, which is what you're saying, you know, which is what Zukav says, it's what Walsh says in Conversations with God, is what Marianne Williamson talks about, you know, it's what all the spiritual gurus talk about, a relationship is not about what you see in the movies, you know, in your women, your chick flicks, where Mr. Right pops up and rescues you and everything is great and you ride off into the sunset and live happily ever after. You know, romantic love is about 800-900 years old. Prior to that, it didn't exist. But when you understand the truth of it is, it's about God and God experiencing God as the best the two of you can be. You know, so it's a growth. And you have to stick in there to learn. These issues that you're having are issues that you need to heal. And if you allow that spiritual energy between you to heal these energies, you're going to have a much better relationship than if you're resisting it because I'm not happy. I'm bored. You didn't do this because I want you to do this. It would make me happy. All the me stuff. But I don't want to digress. I want to ask you, what have you noticed in other people, reasons why they get married? So why do you think other people are getting married? Why do you think people get married?
I think still security, because people want to be secure. And a lot of people don't want to be alone. A lot of people don't know how to deal with being alone. So they accept, I'll be with this person because I don't want to be alone. So, again, they created this almost unsurmountable situation where, just because we're together, that you're not going to be alone. And that's not totally true, because there are many, many married people that are very, very lonely in their marriage, because to be with someone just because you don't want to be alone isn't really the final answer. So you best look at it from a different angle. Always, I think, you're like in Seed of the Soul, it says the situation is doomed. Hopefully
that one got away from you.
I got it. Hopefully, we can create a new paradigm. I do agree. There's a lot of young people who aren't even being taught about how to deal with it. Just straight up relationship, never mind marriage, just how to have a wonderful connecting relationship. And I think once you learn how to perhaps do that, and then marriage may be a next step. But I think just being able to learn how to, you know, have a warm, loving, nurturing relationship may be the first thing we need to help people to learn how to do that.
Right.
I also feel there are many, many, many reasons why people get married, and you know, financial may be one of them. Other people being lonely, and maybe a third one, a fourth one. There's probably plenty more. Is people just like that idea of having someone in their life, you know? So I think there's probably 100 different reasons why people get married.
Okay. Well, Howard, thank you. Thank you for calling in. It's always good to talk to you. It's been a while. Hopefully it won't be that long again before we talk.
I agree. I truly agree. All right. Keep up the good work, my friend. You guys are doing wonderful. Thank you.
All right, Howard. You stay blessed, man.
Thank you, Howard.
Bye-bye.
Bye, sweetie. Bye.
All right. So, again, if you want to get in on the conversation, press 1 on your phone and join us to let us know what you think, what you feel, why did you get married, and why do other people get married. Reverend Arlene.
Well, I would say that for I know that there have been a number of people who have told me that they found that they were a whole lot better in marriage than they were at being alone. And that was one of the main reasons why they had decided to actually get married. Now, that caused me to sort of scratch my head at times because my pre-qualification, you know, one of the things that I would ask them, well, how do you, like, pre-qualify that person? And they weren't really able to give me a solid answer because they were at that place where they would fall into the relationship where where it was almost as if any person that came in, that they had decided to get involved with someone. And I think now, and I know that this, you know, films are not always the, you know, I guess you could say accurate picture of why or the how-to of how to do that. But there was one film that I remember, You've Got Mail. And Dabney Coleman was playing Tom Hanks's father. And so he was like, you know, he says, Dabney Coleman's character says, you know, I have to find another wife. Well, you know, that's the easy part. And so Tom Hanks' character says, well, you know, finding that one person that makes your heart sing, that's going to be easy. And Dabney Coleman's character says to him, well, he was like, when have I ever done that? In fact, when have you ever done that? And so I guess when that particular scene sticks out in my mind, you know, that whole concept of just being in being married to just be married was, you know, a real head scratcher to me. But it was something that was being spoken to in that film. Now, and never once do I think that any of them said that, well, you know, I was better in that particular marriage. But that was one of the things that kind of made me wonder when people would ask that question. So, Reverend Harvey, you know, we have talked about some of the reasons
mm-hmm.
why.
We've covered them. Covered them. What are your closing thoughts on this subject?
That people should really take a good look at, well, why is it that if you are in that place and you're single and you're asking yourself, why is it that, you know, what is your motivating? If you're wanting to get married, what is your motivation? Are you looking for true love? Or if there are things that you're looking for, what is it that you're looking for? And be in that place of where you actually do write down what your requirements would be. Your requirements would be, you know, those things that are what I would call non-negotiable. You wouldn't even date a person for that. And then you write down what your needs are. Those are those things that you would need to actually cause the relationship to be sustained. And then write down your wants. Now, those wants are those things that you could do without. And then start that process of actually, if you're dating, you know, to see, you know, ask questions that would help you to decipher whether or not those qualities, does that person actually possess those qualities. And actually, one of the things that I've been doing is, do I actually like the person? Do you actually like the person that's that's sitting across for you? Because even if they have those needs and requirements, or, you know, those needs and requirements, do you think that you like them enough where you can have a friendship with them? You know, and have that be a part of your foundation, and be able to grow from there to start that empowering relationship. Now, with people who are married, who are facing what I would call challenging times, one of the recent questions that I had to ask people was, you know, if you were to have the source of creation, that's what I call God. If you were to have the source of creation be at the center of your relationship, and, you know, and let source's highest, you know, intention and vibration for your relationship, what would that look like? And start, you know, and start as a daily practice of actually asking yourself that question and bringing that energy and that intention into your relationship.
Now, I want to ask you to say that again and clarify what that means. For people who are listening, I want to make sure that they clearly understand what you're asking.
Okay. So what I am saying is that you ask yourself, well, what do you think, especially if you're experiencing what I call challenging times. Because even in relationships where people have been married for years, they will tell you that they've had their ups and downs. But a larger part of making it work was bringing that spiritual dynamic into their relationship in order for it to have any type of longevity. So what I am suggesting is that, you know, you and your partner make a renewal in terms of your commitment to each other, and also bring the spiritual aspect of God, or what I'd like to call the source of creation, into your relationship. Maybe it would just be a spiritual practice where you pray together and you pray for the greatest and highest good for you and your spouse, and allow the highest vibration, the highest consciousness, which is what God is, you know, the highest vibration and consciousness, and bring that into the relationship and see what happens.
So how would you bring that into a relationship?
One of the things that I've actually encouraged people to do is to do a meditative practice before, you know, in the morning and in the evening, and do it together let me just walk you through what I would suggest. Okay, so you both woke up in the morning, and you are together, so that means sitting across from your partner and looking each other into each other's eyes. And just have that, you know, and see within them that highest, you know, or embrace that idea or that concept that God has brought you and that partner together, and have that be a part of the consciousness. Yeah, consciousness, or be that energy that's playing between you. And as you're looking to each other's eyes, also, you know, begin to feel the breath of that, you know, your partner. And you just feel the breath of your partner while you're looking into each other's eyes. You're both holding hands while you're doing this. And allow for that consciousness of, you know, knowing that the source of creation has brought you together, that in your relationship you have with each other this high vibration and this highest intent, that the very best for this individual that you are, you know, that you care for, that you just let that be what is between you, and just allow yourself to embrace that particular consciousness. That the highest and greatest good, the highest and greatest vibration, that you both bring out the very best in each other, and that you also allow that to facilitate any type of healing that you may need. And that's how I would suggest that people start that practice of making it a spiritual union, and just see what happens. I have actually done this, and not just with not with a romantic relationship yet, but I have actually done that with all of many of my relationships that I have with friends, families, and associates, where I had that be the intention, and it does bring a greater sense of harmony to the relationships that I think that had brought me the greatest deal of difficulty. Are there any closing thoughts, Reverend Harvey?
Well, after that, I'm inclined to say no, but I'm going to go quickly with my closing thought. I believe that it's time for a rebirth, a renaissance period in relationships. People have the wrong idea of relationships. And like Howard said and like Zakiya said, we are looking at relationships as being all about us. We get into a relationship for what we want, and we're excluding God. Once you exclude God from anything, don't expect it to be a great success. That may not be a popular thing to say, but even you and what you just said, you know, you said the family who prays together stay together.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get rid of the idea that marriage is till death do us part. Marriage is not necessarily till death do us part, and it does not mean that your marriage was not a success. Marriage is a chance for you to elevate your vibration, for you to be better tomorrow than you are today, for you to heal. Everybody needs healing. If you are in this world, you messed up. I'm saying it, you messed up. We all are. We come into this world and somebody pinch our foot or smack us on the butt. Already we got a grudge. I'm still looking for the doctor who smacked me. He better hope he transitioned, because if I find him, he in trouble. I'm telling you, we're all messed up. And so mom and dad, they screw us up. Why? Because they raise us the best they know how. But they don't have a book. Even Dr. Spock's book wasn't a foolproof, 100% perfect way of raising kids. So we have our own idiosyncrasies. We have our fears. And that's what it really comes down to. At the base of any problem you have, there's a fear of something. And that is what have us all screwed up, because we're all afraid of something. And when it comes to relationships, most of us are afraid of being hurt. So we can't submit to the relationship, not to the other person in the relationship, but to the relationship itself. And if you can't submit to the relationship because you got to maintain a status, because you got an ego, because you believe that the other person is supposed to do certain things and you're not doing the things that you're supposed to do, you don't understand that the relationship ain't about you. The relationship is about God experiencing through the two of you. And let me give an example of what that means. Arlene, if you and I are dating, there's the energy that's Harvey Bailey. There's the energy that's Arlene Cahat. And when we come together, there's the energy that's now Harveline, which is the two of us combined. That energy is God experiencing us as the best we can be in the relationship. Now, in order for that experience to reach its full potential, we're going to go through some things. I'm going to say some stuff to you, and it's going to hurt your feelings. And it ain't really about what I said. It's about how it made you feel. And how it made you feel is a reflection on something that you're dealing with from your youth, a shadow issue. And you're going to say and do some things, and it's going to piss me to the highest of pissivity. And I'm going to be mad about it for 24 hours, maybe 25 if it's really bad. But it ain't about what you did. You may be the catalyst that brung it up, but it ain't about you. It's about me. It's my issue from something in the past. You could say something, but it's how I perceive it, and I'm perceiving it through dusty lens. I'm perceiving it through the hurt that I felt in the past, which is the same thing you're doing. And every time it comes up, and the bigger it is, the more it's going to come up. That's an opportunity for me to heal it. But I can't do it alone, which is why you're there. So me being able to share it with you, me being transparent, me being open and honest. One, I got to understand what's going on within me. You know, most people don't know what's going on with them. They know they mad, and they blame the other person. You did this. If you hadn't have did so-and-so, then I wouldn't be upset. Really? So you have no control over yourself. You're just a slave to other people. Whatever they do can push your buttons. What kind of person is that? Unfortunately, that's a lot of us. Been there, done that, still there sometimes. Certain things can push my buttons, but I know enough to know I got to get rid of those buttons. I create new buttons or I move those buttons around, and when I'm strong enough, I burn those buttons, and then I dance on their ashes. Because there's no room for that in my life. You know, it's all about growing spiritually. It's all about being the best possible me I can be spiritually. And that's what life is about. That's what a marriage does. And if you're not ready to play in the spiritual realm, to play the spiritual game, then really don't get married. Keep playing around. Keep doing what you're doing. Because all you're going to do is get into a marriage, and you're not going to be happy after a while, and you're going to leave because it wasn't what you want. You got bored, or this was wrong, that was wrong. You fell out of love with the person. Any one of the many of excuses that people give for falling out of love or getting out of a relationship. Don't do it to yourself. Remember, this world is all for you to grow spiritually. If you ain't ready to play with the spirituality of this world, then don't go around messing up other people's lives by declaring your undying love that you're going to give 18 months of feeling the intoxication of oxygen. Vasopressin, dopamine, you know, norepinephrine, and all the other drugs that make up the love cocktail, and then within 2 years, you're ready to say it's over. Or maybe you spread it out to 10 years, and once you hit that 10 to 12 year mark, it's done. We've done all we can do. This just ain't working. Let's say goodbye. It ain't about you. It ain't about that person. It's about the greatest spiritual growth the two of you can be combined together. Arlene, that's what I got. You still there, Arlene? Okay, well, I guess my host has dropped off the line for whatever reason. And so with that said, what I want to let everybody know is that the Family Healing Circle is growing. That's right, we are growing. This coming Sunday, I want you to check out right here on the Family Healing Circle at 7 p.m., Deletta Gillespie and Updraft. You're going to love it. It's going to be very entertaining. You're going to get a few laughs. It's going to be a show that you want to put on your calendar or listen to every Sunday night at 7 p.m. On Monday, we've got Totally Whole. Next Monday, it's going to be Reverend Bridget, and she's going to be sharing her wisdom with us. Then on Thursday of next week, it's Reverend Jamel with the Sacred Masculine Show. He's going to be talking about a spiritual marriage. That's right, it's Marriage Month right here on the Family Healing Circle. And then the following Sunday, we've got Updraft again. The following Monday, we've got Reverend Cook on Totally Whole. And the following Thursday, I am back with the third and final part of the Healing From Within series as I talk with relationship coach. Well, actually, she's just a coach, but she's very good with relationships, Janine Ingram. And we're going to talk about healing from within relationships. So keep coming back because we love having you and we've got a lot of good stuff coming. Thank you, and you have a wonderful evening.
Phone down?
Okay.
I don't just want to know about it.